McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour, another episode of Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and hey, we're back. And the weather has started to finally pick up a little bit. I mean, a little chilly last couple of days, but still, it gives us hope.
Hallelujah, but Jonna's not on the line yet. We have Carrie Bradshaw with us, which...
Who the hell is Carrie Bradshaw?
Jeez, we're hitting...
But wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, now... I'm going to say this with a disclaimer. I have never watched the show. I will never, ever watch the show.
But you know where she's from.
Yeah, is that a character from Sex and the City?
Boom.
Like, you gotta ask. You're so full of crap right now, Frankenberry.
No, I'm not.
I've never watched the show. Carrie who? Is that a reference to Sex and the City, the most fabulous show ever written? Yes, it is, because you're full of baloney.
Now, listen, I may be full of baloney these days because it's the only freaking cold cut I can afford, but no, I'm not full of baloney. Thank you.
I like bologna. I choose bologna.
I choose bologna as well. And hot dogs, too. Thanks.
Mm, with ketchup.
No. Horseradish mustard. Uh-oh. I hear cat noises.
Okay. Can we please get back to the lie at hand for one minute?
Okay. Now, yes.
The fact that you're Carrie Bradshaw?
No. Very good. The fact that Frankenberry's lying through his teeth. He didn't just randomly guess that Carrie Bradshaw is the main character in Sex and the City. You know, he secretly watches it when he thinks no one is around except for his 18 cats.
Yeah, that's right, Jonna. I secretly watch Sex and the City with my 18 cats and I don't tell anybody about it. But I have no issue with telling everybody that I don't mind wearing pumps and a nice summer frock on a nice summer evening. How does that work?
I can't wait for summer now.
It's all about the lighting, Jonna. It's all about the lighting.
Frankenberry, I feel like I want to give you a homework assignment. Like, between this show and next show, could you watch one episode and come back and talk to us about it?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, my God.
You would make Jonna so happy.
Look, I know I would make Jonna very, very happy. I don't know why I just said your name twice, Jonna, but... Yes, I know that would make Jonna very happy.
Jonna.
I just don't know if I could do that to myself for an hour.
I'm going to say this to our 8 or 9 listeners right now. If you believe Frankenberry has never seen an episode of Sex and the City, but just so happened to know that Carrie Bradshaw is a character from Sex and the City, if you believe him, please message me and tell me why. And I will make fun of you next week on the show.
Now, Jonna, it's not like the name Carrie Bradshaw is not in the entertainment news. Didn't they just do a flop of a reboot?
The reboot was terrible.
Yeah, but it's not like I didn't come across that stuff in a headline every now and then. And it's not like we weren't, you know, not like we didn't have Sex and the City shoved down our throats when it was popular. So, yeah, the name is there. I can recognize the name without having seen the show.
Keep telling
me. And can we pause for a moment and let our listeners know why we're even talking about Carrie Bradshaw?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So every week when we record the show, we're doing this remotely still via Zoom, audio only, no video. And every week, Jonna comes on and names herself something different. She's not Jonna Spilbor today. She's Carrie Bradshaw.
That is correct. And by the way, Jonna, it only took me a little bit of detectiving to figure out that that was probably a character from Sex and the City because I know how much you love the show.
Oh, now you know me. It only took what, 15 years?
Yeah, 15 years and a bunch of photos from the bush outside your bedroom window. I know you better than you think.
Oh, you just gave me a great sagu and you don't even know it. May I? May I sagu into it?
Take it away, madam.
Okay. So I wanted to talk to you guys today. I have an update on two recent stories that we have discussed on the show about
washer dryer.
Washer dryer is one. I have an update for that. I know that sounds like, oh, Yawnsville, but it's a pretty good update. And two, my parking garage romance.
Uh-oh.
I have an update on that.
Oh, the parking garage paramour. I'm looking forward to hearing this. Go ahead.
Oh. All right. So then let me
get comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You got a pillow?
Okay.
All right.
I do. A bright pink pillow on my lap. Go figure. And a puppy next to me.
I was just going
to
say, I got a pillow and a dog. I'm all set. Hit me with stories, girlfriend.
Yeah. Yep.
So since you mentioned, you know, taking photos from the bushes outside my house. Well, if you'll recall correctly, a few weeks back, I told you about a parking attendant that has taken a little bit of a shine to me, right? I mean,
yes.
Who can blame him? But okay.
Understood.
I agree. So, I'm just surprised you're saying.
Well, you know, and I'm totally kidding about that part. But I was lamenting the parking attendant romance because I was complaining that people have forgotten how to flirt, that he took his flirt game to a whole other level, like by asking me if I was married, et cetera, et cetera. And that at first I lied because I didn't know what to do. And then I eventually fessed up and said, I'm not married, but I'm also not available. Well, the last few times that I've parked, and now I figured out his schedule just so that I can avoid it from here on out. Because his last flirt with me, you guys, I'm still like, whoa. I pull into the garage, right, as usual. Now he lights up when he sees me, which actually kind of I think is sort of cute. I don't mutually light up when I see him. In fact, now I'm going to avoid him at all costs. But he lights up when he sees me, and he starts, you know, with his, he basically starts giving me a verbal resume. And by resume, I mean, he said, you know, I'm very romantic. I know how to treat a woman. I like candles. I like music. I like all of these descriptive ways, I suppose, that he thinks I will respond to as I'm getting out of my car early in the morning in a parking garage. Okay.
So have you thought about carrying a water bottle to spray him like a cat?
So,
like a misbehaving cat.
I have not, but that might not be a bad idea. So I do my usual. I'm like, you know, and this is my fault because I, instead of like shutting it down, I'm trying to be nice, which ends up just stringing it out. Right. So I'm like, I am sure you are very romantic. I can tell that you know how to treat a person. And that doesn't surprise me at all. I'll say to him as I'm, you know, gathering my stuff. So the next thing he says to me, and there's a little bit of a language barrier. Let me just be perfectly honest here. Like, you know, he's got a little bit of an accent, and he says something that to me sounded like blah, 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 apartment. And he sort of points to the way I leave this garage.
Uh-oh.
So now I think he's asking me whether I have an apartment here in, you know, above the garage. And that's what I think he's asking me, like making small talk. So I simply say, yeah. I just go, yeah. His next line was, I mean, talk about a face lighten up. He says to me, what time? And I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Now I realize that what I didn't hear was he was inviting himself up to my.
Oh my God. To show you how he is in all the ways he verbally described.
That's right.
Oh my God.
Right.
So you need to get a water bottle today.
Or a baseball bat. I say to him, oh no, 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 no. That's not going to happen. We're not doing that. You know, I appreciate all your kindness. That's not, I let him down gently, but I walked to the apartment and I'm like, you know, if I weren't me, I could easily see somebody like reporting him to the, like I'm all right with diffusing it, and I'm all right like shutting something down without having to involve, you know, anybody else or his boss or the authorities. But now I want him to stop. Now I just want him, when he sees me, I want him to say, good morning, have a great day. That's all I want now. And
I think you've reached the point where you need to shut that down. I do. It's making me a little bit uncomfortable for you.
It made me a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, I can understand that.
And you know, Jonna, maybe that's all you got to say to him. I appreciate your admiration. The more you express it, you're making me uncomfortable.
Do you think he'd understand that? Given the fact that there is, like I said, a little bit of a language barrier.
Well, okay. You could go maybe something a little more subtle than what Carol said and look at him and go.
More subtle?
Yeah, and look at him and just say, hey, listen, you're creeping me out, MF-er. You got me? Okay.
Yeah.
Enough.
I was going to go back to lying. I was going to go back and say, I eloped.
That's right.
Maybe that would do it. I don't know.
Let me ask my MMA boyfriend what he thinks about the idea.
That's right. Let my former Secret Service sharp shooting FBI candidate boyfriend in on our little tete-a-tete.
That's right.
Well, have you ever parked your car or retrieved your car when your boyfriend's been with you?
So, no.
Well, that's an idea.
No. That would, and that would probably help, but I don't know how. I mean, I suppose I could make that happen at some point.
The only issue is, though, what would it be reaction-wise on your younger paramour's side? Would it be something where a confrontation is going to arise?
No.
Oh, no. And I've told my younger paramour. And in fact, I mean, the problem with having a younger paramour is that he would be with me and my garage attendant boyfriend might say, oh, your son? That has happened more than once. Now, luckily, it hasn't happened recently. But that used to happen like all the freaking time.
Well, you have told us the occasional restaurant story. So,
yeah. Oh boy, yeah. Those were the good old days. So thankfully, it hasn't happened. Probably because, you know, as younger paramours do, he's aging, and I am spending a lot of money to not. So we're getting almost even.
You're getting closer.
You're meeting in the middle, finally.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
So I guess the moral of my story is,
shut it down.
It's hard. It's hard. And now it went from kind of humorous
to a little creepy.
To a little creepy. And I think when it gets to that point, you got to do something as a woman. You need to do something. So that's my update on that.
What would Jennifer Cassetta tell you to do?
Oh, can we just, since you're talking about her, and it's so funny, just sidebar, I love her Instagram. If you're not following Jennifer Cassetta, she's a friend of the show. She's a friend of ours. We love her. She's a badass. Go to Jen with two N's Cassetta on Instagram right now if you haven't already. But it's funny that you mention her because I'm sitting here looking at a stack of books. And most of these books are from people who have been on our show. And Jen Cassetta is one of them. And Jeannie Kelly and Heather Hansen and Deb Hanlon and you.
Not a guest. Thank you. Thank you. You finally got there.
and Kara Allwell, who's no longer Kara Allwell Leyba. Now she's just Kara Allwell. Isn't that funny that I'm staring here looking? I'm sitting here staring at.
And it's funny that you bring up Jennifer Cassetta because that's the repeated show that I played last week.
Oh, great. Cool. Oh,
nice.
Yeah, she's a self-defense expert, so we might have to bring her in, get her on the line here.
Yeah, she's good, and she'll have some tips. Right. She'll teach me how to
shut that down. Stuff. Let's move on to your washer dryer.
All right, so I just want to give you an update here because this is why I went to law school, and that this is why I'm not. I don't know any trades at all because So remember, I told you a beautiful washer and dryer that I ordered. Turns out, I was missing a regular plug. I needed a regular plug in this laundry closet in order to operate both the washer and the dryer. I only have a plug for the dryer. So I figured
it's the wrong type of current.
Well, it's a higher current, right? For the dryer. If the normal current is whatever, 110, this 110. Is 220 or whatever. I know you know this because as a former house flipper, you're kind of handy that way.
Yeah, so unlike being an attorney, I do know trade. I'm telling you. Jonna, this is yet another example that if you mix us together, we make the perfect human.
I know.
I know.
So I figure, all right, instead of putting this brand new washer dryer back on a truck, I figure I'm just going to call an electrician and they're going to come in here and they're going to be able to build me another outlet and everything is going to be fine. Okay, so here's something interesting that women should know. Again, this is like the woman show. Women should know if you're not handy and you don't know crap about crapola, I contacted two electricians. Their estimates could not have been farther apart.
Oh, wow.
Which was a red. Yes. So one electrician said, no problem, $600. And I was like, ooh, I like that. But then just because I wanted to see, I got an estimate from another electrician, $1,800.
Oh, wow.
I said, well, yeah. I said, what is the difference? Well, $1,800 electrician had to run. He was going to have to make this apartment look like Swiss cheese, holes in the walls, holes in the ceiling to get from the breaker box to the laundry closet so that you could have a dedicated line so that you don't get electrocuted. That was his excuse. But then the $600 guy said, oh, no, I can just take current from the outlet that's already in there. And then I imagined myself like putting something in the washer and my hair explodes because I get electrocuted. But I didn't know.
Right.
So guess what I did?
The $1,800 one.
Frankenberry?
You started washing clothes in the sink again?
with a washboard and my hair and everything? No. I sent the washer dryer back. Yep, I did.
Which actually is something that I was going to mention 2 weeks ago, and I didn't.
But wait a minute.
Of our conversation.
Do you still have your old one?
They destroyed it. Remember? They destroyed my old one when they put it out here. So I had to buy.
You have to buy something that you can use, that you can actually plug in.
I had to buy a single unit. Like, to me, they just look so old fashioned. You know, they're like one unit with the washer on the bottom and the dryer on the top. You can't pull them apart. They're together. They're one. And that only requires one plug. So I ended up.
And is it the right kind of plug?
And it's the right kind of plug. And you're not going to believe this, but this stupid one piece unit was slightly more expensive than the fabulous two piece units that I had to send back because that is my luck. But yeah, so that's what I ended up doing. I said, the thought of having to poke holes, is that really how electricity works? I mean, hang on, stupid that way.
I gotta be honest with you. So I'm following this whole thing because I do have a bit of an understanding.
And you do.
And I'm not aware of how you can convert a 220 current and make it safely into a 110 outlet. I'm not aware of that.
I've still got the mental image right now of your hair exploding. It's kind of funny.
And so that said, the answer to me would have been to run a new line from the panel to that location. And yes, that would require opening up a bunch of holes in the walls and running that line through your 2x4 framing. And so I could get why it would be so expensive.
But yes, so, Jonna, with your solution, though, a couple of extra bucks for a different unit as opposed to the $1,800 for what is going to be the safer of the two electricians.
Yeah, I mean.
And you don't end up with hair that looks like.
She's not doing any electrical work now.
Right.
She's just going to plug.
No, now I don't have to do any.
Right. And you don't have hair eventually that looks like Sigourney Weaver from the end of Ghostbusters. You know?
I will say, I ended up Googling it because I just couldn't figure out why they were so different. And Carol is right on the money. Nothing that I Googled said it was a good idea to just use the 220 and make it, you know, fix it so that you could get electricity off. Nothing said that was smart. And then I had visions of like, you know, constantly having the power go out or whatever. But I will say this. And I don't know, I guess I'm just reminded because of the thought of electrocuting myself. I did one time as a child stick a key in a light socket. So I may be a little bit impervious. Like, you know, if you get some sort of disease or you get like the flu and you get antibodies, so you're sort of immune, I might be impervious to electric shock.
Did you stick a key in an outlet or in a light fixture socket?
No, in an outlet, you know, like where you would stick an electrical cord.
And what happened?
Well, there was a giant explosion, like giant, and my hands turned totally black, but it was soot. It wasn't like necropsy or anything like that. Boom. And then, you know, and then I was like, what just happened? And that was it. And nobody called Child Protective Services, even though my parents were right there when I did it.
My mother was fixing a light bright one time and asked me to plug it in, and my dumb little self had her, I had my thumb on one of the prongs as I plugged it in, and I got that.
Hey, I was working a remote in Pittsburgh one time, and when the remote was done and I was getting ready to we had a big boom box that we played our radio station from, and we had a table, and that's how, where we signed people up for giveaways and stuff. So I'm at the end of the gig, I'm starting to break down the boom box, but I didn't want to turn off the music just yet. So I started breaking down parts of the boom box by pulling apart the wires, you know, even though it was still plugged in. Well, the covers of two of these wires that I pulled apart came with my thumbs. So I became the connection. And apparently, according to the guy who was there with me, one of the interns, he's like, dude, you flew like 6 feet. He came over to me, and I'm laying on my back, and he's like, please tell me you're not dead. And I went, I don't think so. And I ended up spending, 24 hours in the hospital because they wanted to make sure my heart was good.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I also
see something we all have in common.
Yes. And I had big old burns on my thumbs as well.
Wow.
Maybe that's why our chemistry is electric. Boom, shakalaka.
You know what's amazing? So, Jana, so as a kid, you did something like take a key and experiment by sticking it into an outlet and almost electrocuted yourself. But yeah, as an adult, you're a confident, successful woman who drinks wine and has, I'm guessing, pretty positive self-talk. It's pretty remarkable.
Very good.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Carol. Yeah, Carol. I don't know, man. I think that one was a stretch.
Yeah.
That was right on the money.
All right. I'm not so impressed by myself. But anyway, coming up after the break, we have a repeat guest coming on. Her name is Kristen Helmstetter, and she's written a number of books, has a really interesting story. Her last book when she came on to talk with us was called Coffee Self-Talk. And now she's written another one that is near and dear to both Jana and my hearts, and it is called Wine Self-Talk, 15 minutes to relax and tap into your inner genius. So when we come back, we will be talking to Kristen Helmstetter.
All right, that sounds good, and we'll see if she knows any male authors that have written something called Bush Light Self-Talk, but we'll get to that when she gets with us. So this is Happy Hour with Jana Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we will be right back, so please stick around.
Jana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jana and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here. Jana Spilbore, Carol Pesci, and myself. It's segment number two. And in segment number two, of course, we always get to one of our wonderful guests. And today we are going to talk, I think, wine and having conversations with yourself or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait a minute. Why did I think this was a novel idea? I do this every day. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, she is a wonderful guest. And you know what? I'm wonderful, too. So, I'm practicing. So, on the line with us, we have a repeat guest. We had a lot of fun with her last time. And in addition to fun, she brings some really, really insightful information to us on how we can quite easily make massive changes in our life. So, we have Kristen Helmstetter. She is the author of Coffee Self-Talk, which recently made it to the UK Sunday Times top 10 bestseller for nonfiction. Mm. And her new book, which she's here to talk with us about today, is Wine Self-Talk. She writes books on topics ranging from food to travel and self-help, as well as romance novels under the pen name Brisa Star. She and her family split their time between Arizona and, don't get jealous, a small medieval hilltop town in Italy. Kristen, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Thank you so much. I have the biggest smile on my face right now. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, you can hear it.
Also,
yeah, you're telling the truth. Yeah. So what I'd like to do, Kristen, is to start with back up a little bit. It's been a little while since you were on the show. Give us your backstory, because I know you have a famous father-in-law as well that kind of influenced what you're doing today. But just tell us how you got to here in I don't know, 15 minutes or less.
Okay. Well, you know, I was living what I think on paper people would say is this good life. You know, I have this family, I have this great husband, a daughter, a health and all that. And I just wasn't waking up with a smile. I felt like there was anxiety kind of simmering under my skin, excuse me. And I just felt like something was missing. And it's funny because I always kind of presented myself as this optimistic person. It was like, it was this persona, but deep down I was just stressed and worried and, you know, worried about finances and stuff. And so, you know, what do you do when you don't know what to do? You sell it all and you travel the world, which is what we did. We got rid of everything and we started traveling because I was searching for something. And, you know, so a year, 2 years later, I'm in Italy and I realized as I'm sitting in this beautiful cafe and there's, you know, ancient buildings around me and there's the best pizza and the best coffee and spritz, you know, cocktails and everything. And I still hadn't found it. It was like, it's a beautiful place to be if you're sad, but yeah. I still didn't have this kind of sparkle that I just felt was destiny. Like we were meant to have more happiness. I was meant to have more happiness. So, you know, I'm like, okay, I've read enough self-help books. And yes, my father-in-law is Shad Helmstetter. He's like the father of self-talk. So it wasn't a concept that was foreign to me. And, but it wasn't something that I practiced strategically. And one day I'm in my little Italian kitchen and I have a cup of coffee and I'm about to start my day. And I'm still feeling this like, this kind of gray, cloudy weight over me. And I'm like, okay, if I want to change something, I have to change my behavior. And how do I change my behavior? I got to change my thoughts. And I stopped going through email and I stopped looking at social media in that moment. And so I put my phone in airplane mode. I took a sip of coffee and I just thought of a positive affirmation, some self-talk. I was like, I'm living this great life. And at the time I didn't really feel like, I mean, I felt like I was blessed to be in Italy, right? But I just kind of had this sadness in me. But I told myself that I'm living this great life and I love life and I'm grateful. And I just started listing these affirmations. And so I grabbed my phone and I open up the notes application and I start writing these affirmations down. And long story short, I start doing this every morning because the first time I did it, I felt amazing. It was like I had that spark. Oh my God, I had that spark and I knew I was onto something. So I'm doing it for a few weeks and I'm feeling happier and everything's getting better. And I tell my husband about it one day. I'm like, okay, I do this thing. And I'm kind of blushing while I say it because I'm feeling it's like kind of corny. And I'm like, I do this thing and I call it coffee self-talk. And he's like, oh my God, that's a book, go write it. So that's how it came to be. And ever since, my life has just gotten more magical because I have trained my brain. I mean, the words and the thoughts that we say and think are so powerful to living a great life. And so that's where we are today. Happy and sparkly.
Wow. Kristen, listen, you're good. You got it. We've been doing this show for almost 11 years. We have talked to hundreds of guests and a lot of brilliant people. And sometimes you resonate, sometimes you don't, sometimes you question. I can literally feel your sparkle for life. I can feel it.
Don't make me cry.
No, it's beautiful. I don't sense at all that you are showing up as a character or as an actor or as a way you think you need to do this interview. You genuinely bring so much life to this. It's Wow. Bravo. Are you crying?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good job, thank Carol. This bubbly, sparkly person of me.
Cheers of joy. Cheers of gratitude.
Because it's beautiful. You know, people need to listen to you.
Thank you. I love sharing this. It's it's powerful. And I came from a place of darkness. And I like to say that I'm mostly happy most of the time. And that's a pretty good life.
Yeah. And the other thing I've learned too is, and if you have those moments or times when you're not bubbly and you are sad and you are nervous, you are afraid, you're human. You're not failing.
That's right.
But to have a tool, and your books are some of those tools that say, okay, I'm giving myself permission to feel sad in this moment. I have a right to. It's okay. I'm not going to judge myself. Okay, but then what? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What,
I mean, you
what
have
can I do?
Exactly what you said. You have tools. And the thing is, it's no longer your default to be sad or frustrated or stressed. You know, you have those moments and then you pick yourself up and you're like, okay, I know it starts with the words. I know it starts with the thoughts in my head. And you slowly turn that, you know, that ship. And it just works. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And the fewer sad moments you have, and the better you are at handling stress. And it gets easier. So when I think back to the beginning, when I first started it, I was like, oh, I can remember how it was like one step forward, two steps back, you know, two steps forward, one step back. And now it's like 10 steps forward, two steps back. You know, it's leagues better all the time.
Now, and it seems to start with, like you mentioned, it's really about awareness being the first step. And what I mean by that is, like, we've all, you know, been there, right? We've all had moments where we stress, some of us more than others, and we get so freaking used to it that it becomes our normal. And then one day you wake up like you, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't feel good, this doesn't have to be normal, this isn't where I want to be. And once that spark is lit, and you can go ahead and, you know, set your life on fire in a good way, not in a bad way. You know, we were talking about electrocuting ourselves earlier. That's not what
all
I mean.
Three of us have been electrocuting in the past. We discovered it.
Yeah, no shock therapy.
But yes. It really has to start with that little spark within you.
Yeah. And once you recognize it, you can never go back. It's like when you start living what I always call this kind of magical life, because it feels magical, but it's really just science. It's really just training your brain, but it feels so good. It's like suddenly, it's like living in a life that's black and white, and then you see color. You can never go back to the black and white.
Wow. What a great way to put that. So Kristen, my question about affirmations, and I don't think that I practice them as much as I probably can. Do you start with something that feels real? Like you said, I'm living a good life. I'm living in a beautiful, whatever, believable. Because I've heard of people saying, like, I'm a millionaire, gorgeous rock star. And you put that on your mirror and keep saying it. If I look at myself and say something like that, I'm like, yeah, and you're a liar. So is it for most people like a gradual process where you start with something that's believable, and then the more you just start training your brain to look for the good and the positive?
You know, it depends on the person. Some people, when you hit rock bottom, you're ready to dive and jump into anything. And then there are some people who, like you think that, oh, it's a lie. So you can always start small and basic with a truth that you know, like, I am kind. You know, you look at yourself in the mirror, and that's the hardest. When I tell people to do it in front of the mirror, there's a lot of tears that get shed because you realize you have not been nice to yourself for way too long. Mm-hmm. And it's this kind of this moment, this shedding. And you start small and you start with things that are believable, but you absolutely can say things that are just way, you know, far out in the future. I am that incredible, generous, wonderful millionaire who is funny and loves life and is, you know, living this epic dream. So you can totally go out there. And I'm one of those people. I started small only in the beginning, and then I quickly got used to it and got excited because you get that fire in your belly. And the more you say it, the more you see that picture in your head, and it becomes more fine-tuned and it becomes more bright and more vivid. And then it becomes more believable. So you do it at the pace you want, and you can start out slow and you can just go along, but you will start to get into a groove and you'll get more bold and brash with your affirmations. And then it's just fun. It's fun. You know, wow. It's like you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, I'm a millionaire. And you no longer want to slap yourself. You're kind of like, oh, that's kind of fun, you know, and there's sparkles and stuff. Yeah.
Wow. And so something else you say in your book is, because your last book was Coffee Self-Talk, this one is Wine Self-Talk, and you talk in the beginning of it, doesn't necessarily need to be wine. It's, you know, a metaphor for relaxing and tapping into your inner genius. But the concept is similar here. Can you talk a little bit about linking, like doing something physical, like a ritual with your emotions and your self-talk?
Yeah, absolutely. I find it extra powerful when you can link or anchor something to the ritual. It makes you show up more often. It makes it harder to forget to do it. And I always talk about, you got to show up to your life. You got to show up with your affirmations and your mindset. So coffee in the morning is a no-brainer. Most people drink it. Some people do tea self-talk, right? And that's awesome too. And wine self-talk is where you go next level. It's like, it's more about creativity, but not in the sense of poetry and writers and artists. It goes so beyond that, because everyone should assume they're creative, and creativity is what helps. It helps relax you. It helps reduce anxiety, because creativity is making connections and solving problems. So a lot of people have a lot of anxiety and stress. And if they just had feeling of calm and relaxation because they could solve problems, then they would just be so much happier. And so wine self-talk is all about creativity and how to get more creativity in your life. And it's just this delicious little ritual. You can do wine if you want. You can do sparkly water. You can do kombucha, whatever you want. And it helps you tap into creativity, and it helps you just unwind and relax. Because when you're relaxed, you can come up with solutions to problems. But if you're tense and stressed, you don't even have the right blood flow in your brain to come up with the answers to the questions that you have. And so creativity has just, it took my life next level. And I didn't even know, like, it was so important. Even when I was doing coffee self-talk, I mean, that was magical living. And then I started writing romance novels. And when I was writing romance novels, I started researching creativity because I wanted to increase my creativity. As I increased my creativity, I started to see that impact in all areas of my life, like with my relationships and health. And it's all because I was able to like start solving problems. Like, I have these like really silly examples, but you know, like something that I would have gone to my husband for, like a repair or doing something in the house, I would have been like, oh, I'm just going to hand that off to Greg. And then like one day I just came up with a solution in my head, and I'm like, well, where'd that come from? Well, it's creativity. It's just making a connection in your head, and we all have it. We just don't know it. And so wine self-talk is filled with scripts and tips and tricks for everything I do to enhance my creativity. But it's so much more than just writing books. It's just about living life. It's like living a life of solutions instead of problems.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I love that. And you know, go ahead.
No, go for it, Shana.
All right. So I wanted to just go back for a second, because you said, and this is so profound and so important, I think we should talk about it twice. When you say, when you're not relaxed, you're not in a state, not an emotional state, not a physical state, to allow your creativity to sort of take the fore. And that is so unbelievably, profoundly true. And I think that's where people end up kind of staying stuck until you make the effort to say, wait a minute. Okay, so I'm in this bad headspace and a million things are upsetting me. But even if you do something really small to calm down, like one of the things, and we've talked about this years ago, like if I'm in a really terrible mood and it feels like everything's going wrong, I can look at a picture of my dogs that I have on my desk at the office, or go and pick up one of my dogs. And suddenly, for a couple of minutes, I have forgotten all of the things that are making me anxious or nervous or upset. And I have 2 minutes of, or 3 minutes of, or 5 minutes of total peace and calm. And if we can string more of those moments together, you can get to a place where your creativity can start to flow. And it's that simple. It sounds hard, but it's really that simple. And I'm assuming you would agree, because you got to start from where you are.
Absolutely. And everybody knows what that tense feeling is like. There is no way to see solutions because you are so tunnel visioned. You are so focused. Your heart is racing, and it becomes dark. But if you relax, you open. You know, it's like tension is fetal position, right? And that's how you feel. But when you relax, you stretch out your arms, right? And you're relaxed and ideas come to you and solutions to problems. So creativity, wine self-talk, it's for moms and dads and teachers and parents and husbands and wives and entrepreneurs. It's like, and grandparents, and creativity in your life makes everything better. Because it chills you out, you solve problems, and it just, it gives you this glittery edge.
I love that. And, you know, I can completely relate as a writer, and I know you're showing how this can apply to anyone's life, and our creativity is tapping into our inner genius, and I agree, we all have it. There are moments when I will say, okay, and I'm about to release my next book, or okay, today's a writing day, I don't have any schedules, I'm gonna get so much done, I'll sit down with that goal in mind, and I'll spend an hour and a half and write one paragraph, and it sucks. And then there are, and so I completely get it. I've not yet 100% gotten myself where I can like flip that all the time. Then there are times when I'm in the right space, and it comes faster than I can get it on the paper. And
you know,
I literally will look up and go, like, yeah, like, where did that even come from?
Wow.
Yeah. So like when you think about that time where you've been flowing, there's a feeling inside you, and you know what it feels like.
You can
think about it and feel it. And so the next time you sit down and you're in that moment where you're struggling, close your eyes and just tap into that feeling of flow, you know, is there.
And I love when it happens.
It relaxes you more. And then, you know, you just, there's so many things you can do, from taking some deep breaths and, you know, just even just some affirmations of, I am creative. I am open. I am an awesome writer. I am so doing this. I rock. Look at me go. I believe. So I did. You know, I mean, you start rattling them off.
Wow.
And there you go.
And you know, I think it's like anything. It's a bit of a learned skill. Like when you've, and it's a good example, it's been used a thousand times, that when you first learn to drive a car and how much conscious thought it takes to, okay, I need to change lanes, take my left hand off the steering wheel and turn the blinker on, take my foot off the, you know, all of that conscious. And then now, like after years of driving, you just hop in and a part of you takes over mostly. You're still present, you're still aware, you're still operating, but it's a lot easier and it flows a lot more. And I truly believe that what you've done with yourself and shown is possible is literally rewiring how you think and therefore how you show up in this world, because you've handed it over, you've ingrained it, you've created a process for it. And you've done it over and over and over again. Because just listening to you rattle off just a minute ago, it's like, boom, 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 I'm this, go me.
Yeah.
Like, it's your second nature at this point. I'm like, oh my God, I want to be her.
Yeah, and that's because I show up every day. I do it every day. And so I don't wait for that moment when I'm struggling at the laptop with the paragraph. Mm. I've been doing it every day. So I've kind of created this reserve, right? I've got this mindset, my brain is wired to just default to it, you know? So you're right. When you show up, just like driving a car, it just becomes, your MO.
And I think many of us think that massive change only happens in our life when something big happens. And I think more accurately, it's our actions, it's our daily habits, our consistent habits that over time create massive change.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And when you start, you just do a little bit each day. Some days you do more, some days you do a lot. Some days you throw your hands up and you say, I'm taking a vacation. But yeah, it's everything, little, big, it's all of it together. And it all has an impact.
Oh my gosh, Kristen, do you already have another book in the works? Because I want to find a reason to have you come back again.
I do. In the next couple of months, Money Self-Talk will be coming out.
All right. Yeah, you'll be back. I just love talking with you. We are wrapping up here with Kristen Helmstetter about her most recent book, Wine Self-Talk, 15 minutes to relax and tap into your inner genius. No wine required. There's lots of powerful insight here on how to do a daily routine that can change your life. And she's a living, breathing example. You can also check out one of her, she's got many books. Another prior, very popular book was Coffee Self-Talk. Which is a similar concept. Kristen, where can people stalk you, buy your book, get as much of you as they want.
Okay. I have a podcast I launched in January, so they can listen that for more information. It's just little bite-sized 5 to 10 minute episodes. And I'm on Instagram, Coffee Self-Talk. I am pretty active there, so they can always reach out to me. And books are available anywhere, you know, Amazon, everything. If you go into a bookstore and you don't see it there, you can ask them to order it.
Okay, very good. And so you're on Instagram as Coffee Self-Talk?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Very good.
Wait, Kristen, thank you. Kristen, I have an idea. We should be on your podcast, and the name of our episode will be Girl Talk Self-Talk. I love it.
Ooh. Okay. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, write that down.
Oh boy, good one. Kristen, awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and that all you bring to the world with your honesty, your story, your wonderful success. You are an absolute inspiration.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and thank you to you.
Yep. And Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. And I just want to let you know, by the way, that my book will have a subtitle. So when I write the book, Bush Light Self-Talk, it's going to have a subtitle that says, Dude, You've Lost It.
Yeah. And a foreword written by one of his cats.
Exactly. It's just going to be, the foreword's just going to be, it's just going to be a paw print.
And he's gonna, and his dedication will be to Chef Boyardee.
That's right. Dollar a can, baby. Oh, lunch today.
All right, you guys are awesome.
Thank you, Kristen Helmstetter, for joining us today. And we will return. We've got segment number 3 on the way. It's Jonas Spielborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. And we will be right back. So please stick with us.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. You've got Jonas Spielborg. You have Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Very nicely done. Very nicely done. You stop calling me a liar. I've never watched the damn show. Okay? I am never, ever going to watch an episode of Sex and the City, no matter how much it would make you happy if I did so. Because the problem is, Jonna, I would watch an episode of it, then I would give you my opinion, and you would hate me more.
No, I think it'd be an interesting dialogue. And here's what I think. I think maybe we need the three of us to get together at Jonna's pad in New Hamburg for one episode viewing. Frankenberry, we'll have plenty of ice cold Bush Light. We'll have Chef Boyardee in the cabinet. She's got a microwave.
Yep. And I know how to use it.
No, that I'm not sure of. I don't know if I believe that.
No, believe that. I'm alive.
Okay. All right. You are. Yes, you are. So thank you very much to Kristen Helmstetter for joining us again in her new book, Wine Self-Talk.
Yeah. What great enthusiasm she brings, and a powerful message. You know how a simple but consistent practice can have a massive effect on your life. And I love how, you know, we've had a lot of people on the show before that will talk about how awful their lives were at a certain point and how they picked themselves up and brought themselves. And that's inspiring. I also think it's inspiring that she says, look, on paper, because I can relate to this. I went through a period of time with this. On paper, her life looked good. Healthy daughter, healthy, happy husband, living in Italy, but yet waking up every day feeling like you're in a dark cloud, like something's not right. There's anxiety below the surface. So it can look good on paper, but something's still not right inside. And the fact that she figured that out by doing this self-talk through Coffee Self-Talk, and what a massive effect that's had on her level of enjoyment of her life. And what more could you want?
Exactly.
And no, you see, exactly.
And that's where I don't have as much of an issue, because mine doesn't look good on paper. So I have nothing to worry about. You know what I'm saying?
Stop it. I like that I invited us onto her show so that we could do Girl Talk Self-Talk, because one of the other things, and we didn't really talk about it with her, but I love when you're in those moments, you know, and she has ways to get out of those moments when you're feeling anxious, blah, blah. You and even you, Frankenberry, and Carol and I and our good friend Jeannie, like, it does help to sit and chat about your life with the people who love you. And it, you know, yeah. you only want the best for you. Kind of like decompress and throw out ideas. It can be very creative and motivating. So,
and I don't think there's ever been a time that one of us has vented that, and it's between the three of us or Jeannie and Bob, that we haven't ended up laughing somehow.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, yes, helps. Yes. Once you get it out and you air it out, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, kids, that was fun to talk with her. I look forward to her next book and having her back on again.
All right, that sounds good. So again, thank you very much to Kristen Helmstetter for joining us today. And as always, for Jonas Spilbore and for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry. You all have yourselves a good rest of the day and have a good week. We will talk to you again next Sunday. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.